The Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Investigators are looking into whether the shooter in Saturday's deadly mass shooting at a mall outside Dallas had links to a neo-Nazi group. Eight people were killed and seven were injured before a police officer killed the gunman. CBS's Omar Villafranco reports from Allen, Texas.
Law enforcement sources tell CBS News the shooter was wearing body armor and was heavily armed. Police say he was killed by an officer who happened to be at the mall. Two law enforcement sources tell CBS News that the shooter had a patch on his clothing that said RWDS. They believe that stands for Right Wing Death Squad, associated with extremist right-wing neo-Nazi groups. An Army spokesperson says the shooting suspect joined the service in 2008, but never completed basic training.
President Biden says the nation has taken on the scourge of gun violence.
I wrote, along with Dianne Feinstein in California, the banning assault weapons. And for 10 years, violent mass murders went down precipitously. But now it's back. We just have to finish the job and ban them again.
After the driver of an SUV crashed into a bus stop in Brownsville, Texas yesterday, killing eight people outside of a migrant center, the city is trying to shore up security. KVEO-TV's Frank McCaffrey reports.
Sister Norma Pimentel seems confident. She tells us the manager of the respite center has been in contact with law enforcement, and that's what was necessary.
They are surveilling the area and making sure that people don't get hurt.
Some of those hanging out by the respite center do not feel endangered and don't think the immigrants are endangered in downtown McAllen. One told us it's a lot more dangerous on the streets of Reynosa.
No es peligroso aquí.
It is not dangerous. Police are here checking, making sure everything is in order.
Meantime, 34-year-old Brownsville resident George Alvarez is charged with eight counts of manslaughter and 10 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon in connection with yesterday's crash at the bus stop. Israeli aircraft strike Islamic Jihad targets in the Gaza Strip. The Palestinian Health Ministry says a number of people have been killed and injured in the airstrikes, but did not elaborate. Russia ramps up airstrikes in Ukraine. The spike in violence coincides with growing talks of Ukraine launching its spring counteroffensive against Russia. CBS's Charlie Daggett reports from Kyiv.
We heard the explosions overnight. In fact, the air raid sirens were going from about midnight on. They continued at 6 o'clock this morning. And then there was a national air raid siren at 10:30. So it just gives you an indication as to how much the Russians have picked this up. Not only here, but in cities like Kharkiv, Kherson, Mykolaiv, Odessa.
The Dow closed down 56 points. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Improve visibility and save $8 instantly when you pick up a pair of Bosch Icon wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bosch Icon premium blades can help you see better and drive safer. And our professional parts people will install them for you for free. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know.
Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, May 9th. The Wisconsin Rapids Human Resources Committee will meet at 1 p.m. in the meeting and training room on the second floor at McMillan Library. In Portage County, the Central Wisconsin Joint Airport meeting will take place at 8 a.m. in the East Terminal upper level in Mosinee. The Space and Properties Committee will meet at 3:30 at 1462 Strongs Avenue in Stevens Point. The Land and Water Conservation Committee meeting will take place at 7 p.m. also on Strongs Avenue. The Village of Whiting Public Works Committee and Village Board meeting will begin at 6 p.m. at the Village of Whiting Municipal Center in Stevens Point. In Adams County, the Solid Waste and Administrative and Finance Committee meeting will take place from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies overnight with a low of 45. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 71. Lows dip down to about 49. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Dry with temperatures above average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
After shootings like what happened in Allen, Texas, should the photos of gun violence victims be published widely? 844-967-2789. When these horrific, gruesome, violent shootings happen, should we be forced to see the aftermath? I kind of think yes. And it's another Monday where this is what we're talking about. And we're probably going to spend most of this hour talking about guns and the shooting and the gun reforms that were in Evers' budget bill that got taken out. And one of the most prestigious, you know, private schools in Wisconsin is now having armed guards and just like, what are we doing? But I think the first thing, at least relevant to yesterday's shooting, is forcing people to see what these guns do to people. And do you think that people should have to see it? Or is it unfair to the families of the victims? 844-967-2789. Jane, Matt Nair.
Yes.
Bad way to start a Monday.
Again, we're here again, as you said, after another mass shooting in America. And I remember after Uvalde, and I thought that that would have been an answer. Because if you remember, in Uvalde, Texas, at that elementary school attack, the kids were so disfigured, they had to have DNA samples so that their families could identify them. And I thought at that time, too, maybe we should have to see it. Maybe we should have to face it. And then maybe we will take action. But now, yesterday, on Twitter, because there were some images that were circulating on Twitter that I saw yesterday from the shooting in Allen, Texas. There is a whole group of people where that's their kink.
Oh, God.
And I hate to have to even admit that and say that, but, I mean, there was a whole series of movies called The Faces of Death in the 80s. Yes. Yes.
What is that? Like a B film?
No,
what
was it? This was actual footage, I believe, of murders and killings and hangings and horrible, horrible things. And people got their rocks off on it by watching that. And so I am concerned that if we do this, it's going to feed a really dangerously ill subset.
I know. Then that's a really good point. But basically, you know, the background of this, as you said, is that some really gruesome images of the victims were shared widely on Twitter yesterday following the shooting. And that renewed the debate over whether or not we should have to see and face the visceral impact of what gun violence does to human bodies. And so, you know, we're in another situation where 8 people, including children, were killed. 7 more people were injured at an outlet mall in the suburbs of Dallas. And the gunman used an AR-15 in an attack, and he was wearing tactical gear. And, you know, we don't, oh, this was, sorry, it wasn't, so yesterday, it was Saturday. You know, we don't know, I don't think anything's been published yet as of this morning of his motive, but police are investigating his connections to white supremacist ideology. And according to law enforcement, he had consumed and posted white supremacist and neo-Nazi content online. And, you know, this is, according to the definition of 4 more deaths in one instance, this mall shooting is America's 199th mass shooting this year.
More shootings than days.
More shootings than days. And the Gun Violence Archive, which is an independent research and data collection organization, is that's where they define a mass shooting as an event where at least 4 people were shot or injured. More than 14,500 people have died from gun violence this year alone.
Wow.
Like, that's like the size of Rapids, I think. I think there are about 15,000 people. It's like the entire, like, there's a lot of towns in Wisconsin you could think of that are smaller than 15,000 people. That's like all of those people died. To put context into how many people have died from gun violence in less than in 5 months, 4 months. We're, it's May 8th right now. And, you know, and I don't know, like, I, there's a part of me that, but I think you're right. Like, I come from it and, like, I don't want to see those images. Like, the people who, I would imagine that the people who are, would be the most affected by seeing such unbelievable harm done to, you know, sometimes tiny little bodies, probably are already pretty compassionate to wanting things to change. And it may not, I don't know who, maybe it would not move the people that still need to be moved on this issue. I do think that the politicians should have to see it.
I agree. Absolutely.
That I definitely think.
Absolutely.
If it's not shared on social media, as far as still protecting the victim's family, like you said, not feeding into people who get off on these kinds of things. But, you know, you think about the power that a picture can have, right? Like, you know, are we past the Pulitzer Prize winning photos, like the small girl suffering from napalm in Vietnam? Was it just a different time because we consume so much imagery now, but, or like Emmett Till's open casket, like, does that kind of imagery still move people to the point where that could have an effect? 844-967-2789. And, you know, I say, like, who are we trying to move? But, you know, an overwhelming majority of American voters favor a wide variety of gun control measures. And this is most recently a Fox News poll found this. This is not, you know, Moms for Action. Like, this is Fox News.
We have Jack, from Merrimack on the phone. 844-967-2789. Thank you so much for joining us, Jack. What do you want to say?
Well, we can do something about this, and it's been done before in the U.S. between 1996 and 2006, I believe those are the right years, we had an assault weapons ban in this country. And the number of deaths, according to the analysis of the data, the number of deaths from this type of incident dropped by 70% during that period of time. The Australians figured this out after the Port Arthur massacre in, I think it was 94, when they legislated an assault weapons ban, and it wasn't a total ban. They're a very pro-gun society, too, but you can have assault weapons. For instance, if you're in the outback and you have a need for them, something like that, but they're heavily licensed. And much like you can have a machine gun in the U.S., but there has to be a reason for it. You're a collector or something like that. And, again, they're heavily licensed. We need to do something like this. Arguably, the assault weapons ban in Australia has been so effective that they have not had a mass shooting since that incident.
Yep.
So yeah. That's my comment.
Thanks so much, Jack.
Thanks so much for Jack.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in after the latest mass shooting in Allen, Texas over the weekend, we have Kevin from New Jersey joining us. What do you want to say, Kevin?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to give you a different spin on this conversation, and I'm going to start it off by saying I wish we had not had one death related to firearms, okay? 15,000, mm-hmm. I heard you say that number. That's a little surprising to me. I wasn't aware it was that high. But here's my problem, okay? The reason we don't talk about fentanyl deaths is because that's not sensational, okay? We've had 80,000 deaths a year because of fentanyl. But we don't talk about that. We talk about the few deaths that we see. And yes, we're seeing it a little bit more, but we talk about those because they're sensational. Talk about the fentanyl deaths. Talk about the parents that have to wake up and find their kids dead, or just all the 80,000 people that die every year from fentanyl. Why aren't we talking about that? That, to me, is a much greater problem.
I would say that, at least on this show, we have talked about that. I mean, as recently as having Dr. Ben Weston on talking about the different opioid prevention and harm reduction strategies going on in Milwaukee. So I agree with you. That is a huge problem. But I do think there's a little whataboutism as far as changing the subject from one to the other. They're both bad.
They're both horrible. And we say we want our politicians to focus on gun control, gun control, gun control. Well, how about the damn fentanyl that continues to pour in over the border and kills 10 times as many people as the guns? We don't demand the same response from the politicians that we do for the guns, because, again, fentanyl is just not sensational.
Well, thanks
so much for the call, Kevin.
Thanks for the call, Kevin.
Or Jane, do you have a comment?
Certainly the fentanyl crisis is terrible, and I do believe that there are some things that are being tried to slow it. Yet with these mass shootings that happen over and over and over again, nothing is done. And even Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, said after this latest one that it's all about focusing on mental health. Well, Governor Abbott cut $200 million from the budget to mental health programs.
And on top of that, just with the fentanyl thing, I mean, the amount of money being spent and being in settlement cases and opioid settlement cases, like, I think Wisconsin alone, we just got another $100 million. Like, there is a lot of legislation and prevention programs, and there's a lot of stuff happening there. Certainly way more money there than there is in gun reform. All right, we're gonna keep this conversation going. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Everything that you'd ever seen with Miranda Lambert on it, I have my finger on the pulse of what it is. Out of Wind, I've seen every article of clothing. I've spent hours and hours sending inspirations. I've sent clothes that I love and fabrics, and I'm involved in every single garment that you see. It's important to me that it is an extension of my music, and it's an extension of who I am. I always want it to stay as honest as my music. Out of Wind at Boot Barn.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
540 AM, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
What gun control measures do you want to see in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. This is another Monday. We are have to spend the first hour talking about guns and innocent people dying from gun violence. And of course, we're talking about the Saturday shooting in a suburb of Dallas, Texas, in Allen, where 8 people were killed. 7 others were injured. And, you know, I thought it was timely because last week, Journal Sentinel went through and outlined, you know, what gun reforms Governor Evers had put in his budget bill that were taken out. And I just thought it'd be interesting to go through what those are, and more specifically, what the popularity and favorability of those measures are. And I did ask this on As Goes Wisconsin's Twitter this morning, and we'll go through some of the answers we've seen there, because I believe, you know, you can only put 4 options on a poll. So it's been interesting to see some of the other suggestions people have put in the comments section. But, you know, would love to hear from you. What gun control measures do you think are reasonable, that are not taking people's guns away, that would have the biggest impact, be the easiest to implement? 844-967-2789. But, you know, out of the things that were taken out of the budget, the first being universal background checks.
Which are very popular.
Which are very popular. A Marquette University Law School poll in June 2022 found that 79% of Wisconsin residents favor background checks for private gun sales and sales at gun shows. Those are 2 of the notorious loopholes for transferring firearms without background checks. And it's not that the background checks keep a ton of people from getting firearms. It's not like a terrible, like, it's not like a super high bar, because Journal Sentinel did this last year, or maybe it was even earlier this year. They went through the last like 5 years of the background checks that we do have.
Right.
And very, very few people got denied. And so it's not like there's a huge barrier to entry to still buy a gun, but it's there for a very specific reason. There was very specific people that probably should not have guns. And so, yeah, 79% of Wisconsin residents in favor, not moving forward. The second one is extreme risk protection orders, aka red flag laws. And so I almost wonder if we keep calling them extreme risk protection orders rather than red flag laws.
Do you think that will help?
I don't know. I read that this morning and I was like, I feel like we hear red flag laws more often. And so I don't know, you know, sometimes marketing can make a difference, but you know, they operate similarly to domestic violence protection orders. They're, you know, that's legal in all 50 states. And so domestic violence orders relating to removal of firearms have been associated with a 12% reduction in intimate partner homicide. And so if it works in domestic violence cases where things are escalating, I mean, obviously not in the case that we talked to Ashley Lutheran about in Wisconsin, but, you know, in general, having the things in place for when someone is at risk of killing their domestic partner, having similar mechanisms in place when someone should not have access to a firearm for a limited period of time.
And the biggest objection I have heard to that is, well, who's going to enforce this? Well, it's not like somebody's just going to come to your door and knock on your door and say, we're taking all your guns. It's going to go through the courts. A judge will have to sign off on this, I assume, like they do with a domestic protection order.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like some rando is going to, you know, somebody's going to come walking down the street and say, Bill in apartment 12 has a gun and he shouldn't. And you're going to go take them all away. That's not how it works.
So as far as popularity of that, in June 2022, polling by Marquette Law School found that 81% of Wisconsin voters favored a law allowing police to take guns away from people who've been found by a judge to be in danger of themselves or others. And then this one I thought was interesting. Evers also had tax exemptions for gun locks and safes in his budget. And that one sounds like it may have some merit, according to some of the Republicans, but argued that it should be separate legislation. But yeah, in an effort to encourage safe gun storage, Evers' budget proposes making gun safes, barrel locks, and trigger locks tax exempt, which I think that's a pretty good idea. We may come back to that at a later date, of just the profound difference having your gun in a gun safe can make. And, you know, you think about how many people in Wisconsin do have guns because of hunting. And I don't know if there's any data of how many people actually keep those in safes or not. It'd be interesting to see, you know, who does
the numbers.
And who doesn't.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the last one was different grants for suicide and violence prevention that will not be in the budget. And so I would love to hear from you, though.
But it's all about mental health. But we can't. But we're not going to fund that.
But we also are not meant to funding mental health.
Yeah, we're not. Let's not do that.
That also got taken out.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. What gun control measures would you like to see in Wisconsin? We have a comment from on the YouTube Live, which you can always watch us on As Goes Wisconsin on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. I'll read this and then we'll quickly go to break. From Alicia, I'd like to see all firearms registered, all owners required gun safety courses, regular trips to the range, universal background checks, and gun safes and trigger locks for firearms. Funny how she didn't say take your guns. All things that you can totally have your guns. We just want you to be safe with them. All right, we're going to keep this conversation going. What legislation would you like to see in Wisconsin when it comes to guns? 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's
news talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact.
I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Governor Evers' threat to veto proposed changes to Wisconsin's shared revenue system may be having an effect. For now, the bill requires sales tax increases in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to go to referendum. But after Evers' announcement, some Republican lawmakers say they're open to change. Democrats say Milwaukee needs new funding too much to leave it to referendum.
The city of Milwaukee will face insolvency January 1st, 2025. There's no exceptions.
That's State Senator LaTanya Johnson on Sunday's Upfront program on Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made a stop in Rothschild on Saturday to speak at the Lincoln Day dinner put on by the Republican Party of Marathon County. DeSantis is expected to announce this month his candidacy for president. DeSantis has recently appeared in Iowa and New Hampshire, which have the first presidential nominating contests in the Republican Party. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies overnight with a low of 45. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 71. Lows dip down to about 49. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Dry with temperatures above average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
Right, you're talking about fentanyl, right?
We're not talking about
now.
We're talking about
what gun control measures you want to see in Wisconsin.
Okay, 21 were shot, 4 killed in Chicago. How many were shot and killed in Milwaukee this past weekend, and you want to focus on one shooting?
Well, what gun control measures do you...
CJ, we don't want to focus on one shooting. We're talking about, in general, gun violence and 14,500 people who've died this year from gun violence.
How many by suicide?
Probably a lot. I don't know the number off my top of my head, but that is also part of this. Suicide, gun violence, mass shootings, random shootings. Like, this is all part of gun violence, CJ.
Okay, well, you want to talk about, you're the one that brought it up, criticism of Governor Abbott not spending money on mental health. He's had to try to protect the border because this president and this vice president, border czar, is a joke. They are a joke, and the mere fact that you still support them is a joke.
Okay, so thanks a lot, CJ.
Look at the numbers. How many died in Milwaukee this weekend?
CJ, it's been a slice. Thank you for calling. Have a good day.
It's been a slice. I don't think I've heard that one before.
It's been a slice.
Slice of what?
Just a slice.
Could I lighten this up just for a second, and then we're going to get back to the topic? I literally had a dream this weekend that I said I dropped an F-bomb on air, and you were so mad at me. Because you couldn't get to the dumb button fast
I just don't
enough.
Move that fast. I just don't move that fast. We're not talking about the border crisis, and we're not talking about fentanyl right now. We are talking about the easy access to guns. And the question is, what gun control measures do you want to see in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
So I put this on Twitter, on As Goes Wisconsin's Twitter, which you can always... We would love for you to follow us there. And so far... 61% has said universal background checks. 23% said red flag laws. Only 1.5% said incentives for gun locks and gun safes. And then 13.8% said other. And some of the interesting suggestions that people said in the comments section was this one. I think is interesting. This is from A.R. Scott, I don't know, he has kind of a... R. Scott Rogers is his handle. I would start with strict liability tort reform. Any misuse of a firearm makes the firearm's owner fully liable in civil court for the harm done, no matter who pulled the trigger. This liability endures until the firearm is transferred with the use of a federal background check. Quote, responsible gun ownership means taking responsibility for your gun. A responsibly stored firearm cannot be misused. A responsibly handled firearm never discharged inappropriately. There is no such thing as an accidental firearm discharge. Guns can be fired negligently or recklessly, but modern gun design prevents actual accidental discharge. Our laws should recognize this fact. I'd start with strict civil liability because it would have a profound effect on insurance that would highly incentivize responsible gun storage and handling by anyone who owns or rents a home or who owns a business or who owns and drives a car. I haven't heard that one before. That's actually interesting.
It is very interesting. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We have Eric from Tosa. Thank you for joining us, Eric. What do you want to say?
Hi, on the wish, I'll get this part kind of out of the way, is my wish for gun control, I should say, and this is what I would consider like a 50-year plan. It's not necessarily for us, but for our children and grandchildren to enjoy a better life, would be allowing, you know, non-military, non-law enforcement civilians to own single-shot shotguns, bolt-action rifles or long guns, whatever you want to call them, and revolvers. Those three things, everyone, again, it's not banning guns, it's regulating guns. And if anyone can explain what would be lost out by limiting to those weapons for civilians, then I'd be happy to listen to it, their claims. But those would be my three allowable firearms, so to speak. One question I had for the fentanyl guy is, when did fentanyl last kill dozens of unsuspecting shoppers? As he's weighing the two apples and oranges here, and there are many laws being passed and introduced to stop fentanyl from being trafficked, guns not so much, right? As far as like showing images of gunshot victims, I think it's entirely up to the parents or guardians of those folks if they choose to do so. Nobody else should have that right, even the lawmakers, without the parents or guardians, allowing that. But keep in mind too, you know, images of lynching, postcards of lynching victims' body parts were distributed by the post office to fellow white Americans for decades. And where are we now? In our, you know, cultural, racial relations, has that, you know, those images are probably kept by some people still, but some people really revel in the death and the violence and the gore. And so I think that's complicated. And I believe as much as Emmett Till had an impact immediately on those that wanted change, it alternately also impacted those that were going to fight change to dig in even deeper. And this would be the same story, I believe.
Yeah, you make a really good point. Yeah, you make a lot of good points there, Eric. Thank you so much for calling.
Really good call, Eric, as far as he really got the checklist of all the questions we've asked so far this morning. The whataboutism is not helpful. There's a lot of things that are bad. There's a lot of things that need to be worked on. How do you measure what is worse? I don't know. Is it just body count? Is it how innocent you deem the person to be who is the victim? It doesn't feel helpful.
Well, and I just feel that there are measures for so many other things, and we regulate so many other things to help keep people safe. And yet the only thing that we apparently cannot touch is guns. And within the Second Amendment, as you pointed out, it says well regulated. This doesn't seem regulated to me. At all.
Well, and it depends on where you go, right? I mean, there are some states that are doing what they can and obviously going to battle that out in court. There's other states that are making it easier and easier. But it's some of the other answers we've gotten that I think seem like no-brainers is gun owners should be required to carry insurance.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and the gun owner registration, the same way that we expect everyone who drives a car to be registered, you have to be registered to be able to vote, you know, and then we can tax ammo and have an excise tax on that. Another option was, or suggestion was mandatory gun safety and operational training classes, including written and practical testing paid by the licensee.
Which I can't believe we don't have. I'm going to go buy something that can kill people, but I don't need anyone to teach me how to use it. I'm fine. I just instinctively know how.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's there's such a far gap between banning guns, which is what certain people on the right think that is what's trying to happen, is de-arming people. And so much of what could be done as far as registration, as far as taxing things, as far as having people take classes, like so many other things that we have available to us, whether it's driving cars and like we do that and no one bats an eye. You know, if anything, people are so upset whenever anyone says, undocumented immigrants should be able to get their driver's license because the argument of all the things that it solves because of not having a license causes issues. And then people don't want to do that. But it's like, it's not always a bad thing to know who is supposed to own this gun and who is liable for it if it were to, like the one comment said, misfire.
Right. 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. What gun control measures would you like to see in Wisconsin? And I want to point out as well that in 40 years of gun owners being told they're coming for all your guns, it's never happened.
If anything, it feels like it's gotten easier in a lot of places.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. It is far easier to arm yourself now than it was 40 years ago. And with far more effective killing machines. So they've been screaming, the NRA has been trying to scare you for decades. They're coming for all your guns. They're coming for all your guns. Yeah, they're not. And they never have in 40 years. It's about, as you said, it's about reforms. It's not about confiscation.
Ah. But it feels like there's other local gun news in Wisconsin from this past week, past weekend. Obviously, we're running it in our news breaks, but in St. Croix, a St. Croix County Sheriff's deputy was shot and killed after responding to a drunk driving incident over the weekend.
Terrible tragedy.
Terrible. And she'd only started with St. Croix in 2022. She hadn't even been there a full year yet. I didn't think she wasn't even 30. And so that's obviously a tragedy. And it goes back to the John Stewart interview where he's like, do more guns make deputies and cops feel safer when they go on a traffic stop? Do more guns in the house make the police feel safer when they show up for a domestic violence dispute?
And I would also love to talk to law enforcement about their feelings on permitless concealed carry. That seems like a really not good thing if you are an LEO.
Yep.
I just don't see how that is good.
Well, and also, and it's interesting where this is coming from, but do you want armed guards at your kid's school? Is that going to make you feel safer with your kids at school? Because the University School of Milwaukee, which is a pretty prestigious, expensive private school in River Hills, and starting May 1st, so last week, security staff, as a part of their regular part of their job, are carrying firearms. And there are 3 to 5 members at the school's in-house security team who carry guns. All of them are former Milwaukee Police Department officers who had already been working at the school as unarmed security staff for many years. And generally, in Wisconsin right now, it is a felony to carry a firearm on school grounds under state law, unless you are a former police officer. And it's interesting because, at least according to the Journal Sentinel, which is where I got this article from, the school didn't really give that much time for parents to weigh in.
They just made the decision.
Kind of, it sounds like. There was no formalized outreach to parents. It was mostly members of the school's board of trustees, legal and insurance consultants, security experts, and local police who were conferred before making the decision. And then letters to the families, you know, were sent once it was already decided. And it's in response to the rise of school shootings nationwide. And I guess so far, according to them, parents have been fine with it. And I don't know. Like, I also don't know if it's been proven that this prevents anything. I don't know. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to shift to some good news because I need it. We're going to talk about Wisconsin's Teachers of the Year because it is Teacher Appreciation Week. So we're going to talk about that in our next segment. And again, at the last hour of the day. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Field's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Let's take a cleansing breath from the first three segments of today's show and let out the heaviness because it just doesn't get any easier talking about that stuff. And yet, every couple weeks,
not even
talk about it.
No, it's every week, every 8 days or so.
I feel like the ones that we end up talking, it doesn't matter. But on a lighter note, it is Teacher Appreciation Week.
Yay, teachers.
And we love our teachers. We spend a lot of time on this show talking about education, talking about teachers, talking about the teacher shortage, because it is something that affects all of us, even if you don't have kids yet, because the entire concept of a public education and having an educated electorate is that it's good for everybody.
Right.
If more and more of us are smarter.
Know stuff. And if we know stuff.
Know stuff. You know, it's good. It's good for everyone to have some basic civics. It's good for society if more and more people are literate. Just good things in general come from an educated population.
Exactly.
And so we love teachers. We are very concerned about the teacher shortage here and across the country, but also do not blame them, because it's not like I'm trying to sign up to go be a teacher, because that job sounds way harder than talking on the radio for 3 hours a day.
There's no question. And not only do they have to be able to teach, but now they're psychologists and they're social workers. And now we expect them to be armed in some cases, which adds a whole nother level of responsibility. And not only do they have to answer to their administrators, but the parents.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tough job when I was a kid 50 years ago. I can't imagine what it's like now.
Yeah. So we want to hear from you as far as stories of your favorite teacher who made an impact on you. 844-967-2789. We'll certainly take that text or call now, but also the top of the 1 o'clock hour, spend more time on talking about your favorite teacher. You can remember, I think mine, I had a lot of good ones. I feel like mine, and I would love to see if I can try to find her contact information, because I think I'm pretty sure she's retired, but she's still in Madison. It was my 7th grade social studies and English teacher, Mrs. Passman.
Okay.
Who, big shock, had an entire we had an entire section on curriculum on social justice. And I would say, my mom would certainly point out, she's like, I think that's where a lot of this started for you. So call that indoctrination if you will. But I very much appreciated it, because she was a cool lady. She was, she was a little bit older, and she just had seen all of it. And so even the kids who kind of were disruptive in class, didn't really bother her. She knew how to handle it. Like, she was fun. She was super smart. The stuff that we read in that class, I think that's what the class that I read, Mouse.
Oh, wow.
Which was pretty young to read that, but important. And so she always stands out to me at Cherokee Middle School, Mrs. Passman, seventh grade. And that, you know how much of an impact you know she made, because she took a semester off. I forgot exactly what health stuff was going on in her family that she, I think she maybe was taking care of her dad. So she made that much of an impact on me and only was in one semester.
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow.
So I think back on her really fondly, but I would love to hear stories from you today throughout the week of teachers that made an impact on you or on your kids. If you currently have kids in school who there's a specific shout out for a teacher that you really appreciate, 844-967-2789.
They can use some shout outs as opposed to being shouted at.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But Wisconsin DPI is in the middle of announcing their Teachers of the Year. So every year, Wisconsin selects 5 Teachers of the Year annually to represent elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and special services. And there's an interview process. And then one of the 5 is selected to represent Wisconsin in the CCSSO National Teacher of the Year program.
Ooh.
So DPI considers all 5 of its Teacher of the Years as a Teacher of the Year and does not give any special designation to the one chosen to represent the state in National Teacher of the Year. But I saw last week, locally, there was a couple teachers, at least in the local Southeast Wisconsin area. In New Berlin, there was, they did a whole thing, I guess, last week. Students and staff at New Berlin West Middle/High School lined the hallways to surprise one of their teachers with an award from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Sagar Homanyanpour is a computer science teacher, and she was recognized as a 2024 Wisconsin Teacher of the Year during a surprise ceremony.
Nice.
So I guess she like walked down the hallway and people were applauding and there was staff out and students were out. And then there was like, she was taken to another room where she was presented the award, and Wisconsin State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underly, was there. Her superintendent of the New Berlin School District was there. And so, yeah, so it was kind of fun to see some of the video coverage of that. But then 2 of the other 5 Wisconsin Teacher of the Year awards were announced last week as well. Claudia Heller Demesser is an English teacher at second language, English as a second language teacher at Milwaukee Parkside School in Milwaukee Public Schools. And Rachel Comferman is a school social worker at McKinley Elementary in Wauwatosa. And so I guess I would assume that maybe the other 2 are going to be announced this week. But yeah. And
congratulations.
Congratulations to them. I would love to know what that interview process is like.
Do you have to?
How do you pick the best teachers?
I don't know. And do they have to make a presentation to sell themselves?
Which I feel like, sometimes those things, like people who are the most, sometimes I often feel like in those kinds of jobs, in those kind of service jobs, the people who are the best at them are also the most humble and like really are not good at self-promotion or like bragging about themselves.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I just like,
it's just what I do. It's just what I do.
It's just what I do. I don't need any recognition. Like, this is embarrassing. And so, that's what I wonder of like, how much do they have to be coached to be like, no. Talk about all the good stuff that you do. It's okay.
Talk it up.
All right. Well, in the top of the hour, we're going to go to the news. But when we come back, some election news. How do you feel about the non-binding voter questions? We talked a lot about them in the spring election because there was a statewide one, but often you see them on your ballot. They're marijuana. Sometimes it's abortion. There's stuff that, and it doesn't have any ramification, but it's there to show support. How do you feel about them? Because the GOP is trying to get rid of them. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.